Hello, I'm DJ Evil Dave.
And I'm Dr. Brandy Sexy Voice.
And you're listening to the Dark Corner Podcast.
Brought to you by GentlemansGrindhouseRecords.com.
Picking up after it's over. Shrapnel confetti soldiers. We've given all we've got. Sleepwalking or awaking. Days get peace forsaken. Not giving nothing.
Hello.
We are back home and not in the car.
Yeah. And that's a great start, isn't it?
Yep. I didn't have a beginning to this one.
We are so tired. At least I am. I've been working overtime, which has never happened before.
No, it's been a bad spring for you. At the lawn care place.
So bad. So frustrating. I mostly caught up. On Friday, mostly. Except I still haven't had time to clean out all of the 2016 stuff from the filing cabinets so that I have room for the 2017 stuff.
Mm.
And the big boxes that we usually put them in, we didn't have any, and so I had to order some, and then I didn't get them for like 2 weeks, and by that time we were full in spring! This too shall pass. The money's nice.
It is. You had a healthy paycheck with all the overtime.
And I was very cranky.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was not being a very nice person.
Well, when you're coming home around 6 to 6:30 every day.
And that's 2 hours late.
Yeah. 2 hours later than usual.
Yeah. Anyway, whatever. My head hurts.
Mine too. My shoulders hurt.
Okay, we suck. Anyway.
Yep,
hi.
So that's it for our intro, and that's it for our show. Bye! Oh, no.
Yeah. Fuck you all! No, just fuck us.
I'm taking my ball and going home.
Screw you guys, I'm going home. Yep. I can't do Cartman.
Yeah, Butters is your
wheelhouse. I can only do this.
Bitman!
Bitman!
No, Bat Kitty!
Now we've devolved into a South Park impressions.
Oh, sorry. That was my fault.
That's one step away from Futurama.
Mm.
Anyway, shall we get into some obsessions and then so on and
yeah,
so forth?
Yeah, let's do that.
It's obsession. It's obsession.
Why you didn't do the Calvin Klein bit?
I'm sorry. Obsessions by Calvin Klein.
There you go.
Thanks.
Have to satisfy that itch.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure we're having the same obsession.
I'm 100% sure.
Right now, I'm obsessioning.
You're inceptioning? What?
I'm inceptioning about multi-classing in Dungeons & Dragons. It's something both our characters are going to do this mm-hmm. next level. And so I've been figuring that out, seeing what the pros and cons are, what we lose, what we gain level-wise. So, yeah, that's been on my mind for the most part, and also preparing for the next time we play.
It's one of the few things that keeps me sane these days.
Yep, a little bit of escapism.
It's just fun, and it always just makes me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of those cure-all things, like Chuck.
It's like a therapy session.
Yeah.
You're going into Druid.
Because I want cantrips, damn it.
Yeah, you'll get 2 cantrips, so you'll have 3 spells to burn.
Whee!
Yep, probably an attack spell and then a support spell.
Yeah.
I think you already put your heart on poison spray.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's very close range, but it's also one that does more damage.
But it would be fun.
What's nice about multi-classing and cantrips is it doesn't depend on the level of class you are. It's your total levels for leveling up a cantrip.
Nice.
So if you're a level 3 ranger, level 2 druid, you count as a 5th level character.
Nice.
And so something like Poison Spray will go up in damage per level character, not per level class.
Right.
So that'll be sweet. And I'm going to go Paladin so I can get Lay on Hands. And then I can also have Divine Sense so I can sense fiends and undead and that sort of thing.
Spiffy.
There's something else they can sense. I think celestials. They can actually sense, like, angels if they're around. And then later on, I want that sweet, sweet plus one to armor class by choosing a fighting style. Because I've never really played a tank in Dungeons & Dragons, and with a character who has heavy armor proficiency, it's like, why not? Because he's not using his dexterity bonus for his armor class, so why not get the best armor rating possible?
True. True.
So find a magical shield, find a magical suit of plate, get the defensive bonus from the paladin class. That, and it suits the character, I think, at this stage, to dip into paladin for a little bit, become a crusader of sorts.
Yeah. It's a dip-in level.
And the spells are comparative. You know, the paladin prepares spells much like the druid or the cleric. Hmm. But he uses his charisma instead of his wisdom, so there's going to be a dip there. And then I think Holy Smite is another ability where you can expend a spell slot to do more damage with your weapon.
Yes.
You imbue it with holy power and you do radiant damage.
Oh, radiant damage is awesome.
Yep. That's mostly why I'm dipping into the paladin thing. Oh, also, he'd get martial weapons proficiency.
Mm-hmm.
So I would give my cleric all weapons, all armor, and shields.
Very cool.
He'd be the same as a fighter.
Yeah.
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 And then also with your druid, you'd learn the druidic language. You'd be able to attune to any druidic magical item, of which there's a few. And we're planning on a quest later to find you the Staff of the Woodlands.
Because I can make it a tree.
Mm-hmm. And it has other benefits to the druid.
Yeah, but instant class. Tree.
Instant tree is a very important thing. And there's a few magical items that are paladin only. Most of them are paladin or cleric, because it's whatever holy character you have. But every once in a while, there's one specific to a paladin.
Yeah.
Like certain weapons.
Well, my character's saying she doesn't like to sleep indoors. Well, she doesn't sleep. She meditates. But yeah. She doesn't like to be under a roof.
Yeah.
If she can help it.
Mm-hmm.
So instant tree, big appeal.
Yes.
Because she meditates in trees.
It'll be interesting once we have to go into some dungeons. Because if you determine that your character is claustrophobic, that's a fun little character choice.
You know, it's not going to be hard to play because I'm claustrophobic.
Yep. Granted, later on in ranger levels, you get to pick another favored terrain. And you could go with the Underdark if you wanted.
Underdark!
But which would suit for your hatred of aberrations, because that's usually where they dwell. But at the same time, that might be also why you hate them, is because they dwell in the Underdark, and you're afraid of the Underdark.
I'm afraid of the Underdark.
So it's like...
It's not... I'm not afraid of it. It's different.
It's different.
There's a difference between fearing something...
And feeling cramped by it.
And because claustrophobia, people say it's fear of, closed spaces. But have you ever truly been in a space that was so tight that you couldn't move and you felt like your breath was being stolen and there was nothing you could do to get out of it?
That's a good point.
Yeah, I have. It sucks.
Yeah.
I do not recommend it. And I don't think that it's fear so much as it is panic.
Yeah, I think psychologically speaking, they've determined that few people that have claustrophobia, it's from being tickled to the point that they can't breathe.
Oh, thanks, sisters.
That might be the root of a lot of people's claustrophobia.
Well, my sisters certainly did that to me multiple times while we were growing up.
Yeah, so they psychologically scarred you with claustrophobia from basically torturing you.
Thanks, guys. Yep. Appreciate you. Give me this lifelong curse. Thank you.
So, also with you being a druid, you'll be able to prepare a few druid spells, which is nice because you can organize them however you like. And spell slots become different when you multi-class. You don't follow the rules for either class anymore. It's the rules for multi-class. So with you, you'd take half your ranger level and add each of your druid levels and then use that to determine how many spell slots you have. So in the long run, you'd gain a 6th level spell slot.
Mm.
And even though you'd be a 2nd level druid, you could prepare a 4th level druid spell once you had the slot available.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Spiffy.
That's pretty nifty.
Yeah.
So it's actually worthwhile. You don't lose much. You lose Foe Slayer, which adds your wisdom bonus to strike and damage your favored enemies at 20th level.
Don't care.
There wasn't really much at 19th level. There was the ability score adjustment, but because I scatter the benefits across multiple levels, it doesn't hurt as badly to lose one.
Nah.
Because you lose maybe half. So if you do the ability score, it'd be a plus one to one of your ability scores, which you'd be gaining on your second level druid anyway, because you're thinking of dipping in two levels.
How can I have fear of missing out when I don't literally know what I'm missing?
Yeah, and it's not going to hurt you that badly, because it's a benefit that only falls into place when you fight your favorite enemy.
So who cares?
That doesn't happen all the time.
That happens very rarely.
And you, at second level druid, you get the wild shape, and if you do circle the moon, you'll be able to switch into a beast as a bonus action, plus change into a beast with a challenge rating of 1, which is the equivalent of a tiger.
I'm going to be a big wolf.
Big wolf. Yeah. That's something I don't think we discussed with you getting your wolf in the previous...
No, because we haven't talked in the podcast since
then. Yeah, I surprised the hell out of you.
Yeah, I got a wolf.
Yep. It was a traveling circus kind of thing, and they had a white wolf escape a cage because it sensed your presence.
My wolf.
And so you coaxed it out, and it immediately bonded with you. And you went and got it some leather barding and a saddle so Alfredo can ride her.
Which saved her life in a battle.
Oh, that was awesome, because you guys are assaulting a Precinct 13. No, it's, it's a manor house. It's actually one I based on, I think it's the Oxford House.
Mm.
It's surrounded by a moat, which there's a funny story revolving around that as well. But you attacked it at dawn, essentially, and there were some archers, and your wolf attacked one and missed, and then the guy went to shoot Phaedra, your white wolf, and rolled a 15, which I think was just enough to miss the armor class.
Yeah, well, see, if she hadn't had that plus one from the saddle, she would have been hit, because she has had a 15 armor class without it.
Mm-hmm.
With the saddle, it gave her a plus one, so she was at 16, so it didn't hit.
Yeah, so it was nice that we invested, or you invested,
because
you're the one that paid for it.
Yeah, I was happy to pay for it.
At the same time, Essa had her studded leather reshaped and dyed, so now it's nice and black.
I should explain that I did name her Phaedra.
Yeah, I did not name the wolf, because that was up to you.
Well, it was just weird, because I thought, what am I going to name her? And then I heard the name in my head, and I'm like, oh, apparently she wants to be called Phaedra, so here
yep,
we go.
And suits. And we even found a little Lego husky dog for the Lego figures we use for miniatures, which has worked out really well.
It's
I think
so
it's helped
fun.
People visualize
mm-hmm.
combat.
It's so fun.
Line of sight, and who we're attacking, and who we get opportunity of attack on. It's really beneficial. We found a gnome, an actual garden gnome for... Danielle for her Alfredo.
Yep.
And then my cleric, he's got his mace that I kind of constructed over out of some Star Wars bits I had. So it's basically a spanner with two, like, round pegs attached to it.
Yep, looks great.
And then I constructed him out of the Emperor and some weird samurai from one of the offshoot Lego things.
Mine is a combination of an elf woman and Scarlet Witch.
Yep, Scarlet Witch's hair.
Yep.
Because you like that.
Well, the elf one was okay.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't right.
Yeah.
But when I put Scarlet Witch's hair on her, I'm like, yep, that's her. That
yeah, I guess a wild woman quality to her.
Yeah, and she's...
Because the hair's really long.
She's got two different faces, depending on which way I twist her head around.
Nice.
So she's got this face, which is annoyed face, and then she's got angry face. I'ma kill you face.
Nice.
So.
Yeah, I think Calvin, yeah, from what the group, you know, our Facebook group says, Calvin received his Tarzan figure. Chelsea designed her fighter, her Essa.
Which is great. And then Matt's still waiting for his, I think.
Yeah, well, it was overseas, so I imagine shipping might take a while. He's got his bear, though, because he's basically a doll mage now.
Mm-hmm.
He's a sorcerer, but he uses a stuffed bear as a spell focus.
He's like Lulu in Final Fantasy X.
So it's a very Final Fantasy thing to be a doll mage, and I think it was a fun thing to introduce.
Did we talk? I can't even remember. Did we talk about the Lulu we saw at Van X?
No, we did not.
Oh my God.
Her skirt was amazing. The
her hair
skirt.
Was amazing. Her makeup was amazing.
Yep. Even
every
had the fur top.
Bit of that costume blew my mind.
Yeah.
She even had the contact lenses to give her the like reddish eyes. It was unreal. She was amazing.
Fascinating.
Absolutely amazing. Very cool.
Yeah.
And then we saw Yuna, and I wanted to shout at them, you need to come together, Yuna and Lulu.
Yep. Find a Riku as well and get the three of them together. I think that was our best D&D session so far. We kind of left on a cliffhanger as you're about to actually enter the manor house.
Yeah, because everyone listened to me instead of instead of Turnt. Oh. So I think we should retreat. And I'm like, I think we're going for it.
Everybody advance. And he's like,
It was funny, too, because on Saturday last week, Calvin's like, I really do think we should retreat. And I said, and I really think we shouldn't. They already know we're here. Uh-huh. If we retreat, they're going to have more fortifications when we come back. I didn't explain this at the time, but that's my thinking. It's like, okay, they know they've been hit. They're going to double up on everything. We need to do this now.
Well, you attacked at dawn, which is, I know it's a cliche, but there's a reason why you do so is you catch them off guard. You have the element of surprise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you attack them from the rear of the castle, so... That was a bit of a surprise as well. Already took out four of their archers.
Hail of Thorns was fun. Finally started hitting stuff. Spent a lot of time not hitting stuff.
Yeah.
At the end of the sessions, Calvin's like, hey, Al, so you were kind of off today. What's with the not hitting people? And I said, why don't you go fuck yourself?
Sorry to steal your thunder for missing things.
Yeah.
Typically, he doesn't really hit that often.
Well, and I know he was teasing, and he knows I was teasing. It was just funny. It was funny. Good times.
Fun.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm excited for the actual assault when you get into the building.
And the actual pepper. I'm sorry, that was such a bad joke.
The assault and the pepper.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm ashamed of myself. So, yeah, just a continuation of our last obsession, really.
Probably going to continue to be this way as long as we're interested in Dungeons & Dragons, so that'll just be the natural segment. With the cleric, it's pretty much the same thing. I'm going to dip in for two levels, so there's that half an ability score adjustment situation, which I'll be gaining back at level 2 anyway. I'm going to increase charisma, so my paladin spells are stronger, because they're based on charisma. Right now it's 13, that'll bump it up to 14. So I'll get a +2, which also give me an additional spell to prepare.
Ooh.
So that'll be nice.
Mwah.
And then improved divine intervention, which I'm not sure I like as an ability anyway. So when you call upon your deity and at 20th level, it succeeds all the time.
Wow.
And it's like, well, I don't want to rely on that. Before, you'd have to roll percentile, and if you made it 2 or under your cleric level, your god would intervene. So at best, that would be a 19%. Like my guy, it'd be 18% chance of having the god intervene.
Yeah, but let's think about this. If you've made it to level 20, that's a hell of a lot of work. You deserve to have that succeed every time.
Yeah.
Because you are basically a demigod at that point.
True, but I also don't want the god out of the machine kind of resolution to problems.
Yeah, well,
it's
that's
like,
your own thing.
We're stuck in a corner, we need out, I'll pray to my god and that'll fix it. I think that's up to the DM as how it limits. And the
isn't that what gods are for?
The player's guide suggests that it's a spell effect is the way to do it. So you can request any specific spell request, and likely the one out of the domain of that god. So yeah, if you want to heal everybody, or if you want to revive somebody from the dead, or something like that, I'll be missing out on that. But at 20th level, do I need that as well?
Yeah.
Because likely I'll be powerful enough, I can handle things on my own, you would hope.
Yep.
Especially if you become the roving tank I want to be.
Tank.
It's like
tank.
+3 plate mail, +3 shield.
Is it Rusev's tank?
Yep.
I'm sorry.
The +1 defense bonus.
That was a tights and fights joke, guys. Sorry. Yeah. If you don't know wrestling, then you don't know what I'm talking about. And I don't even know enough wrestling to totally understand what that whole thing is. But I just know
Rusev's
that
tank.
That Lindsay Kelk really loves it.
Well, I guess that's a nice rollover into that topic. So should we get into news and reviews?
Oh, yes. Let's do that.
News and reviews, we are members of the Maximum Fun family of podcasts. Not that we're a member of the podcast,
we're a member, fan. We're members of the community in that we donate to specific podcasts to give them money so they keep going.
Yeah, we're the $5 a month club, which gives us access to their bonus episodes, of which there are a lot.
There are so many because I think they've been doing this for like 6 years.
Yeah, they go back to about 2012.
I think 2011, actually.
2011, so yeah.
I have been wanting to do this for a while, but they only do it once a year, and we were a little too late last year.
Right.
So they did extend it through the weekend, though. Their goal last year was 5,000 new and upgrading members, which they achieved. Their goal this year was 10,000 new and upgrading members, which they achieved in like a few days. So they made a stretch goal of 20,000, which they achieved on Thursday. And then they decided to just let it ride and go through the weekend. And now I'm curious as to what they are now, because I like looking at these things. 23,427 new and upgrading members.
Yeah, it's the best they've ever done.
Well, they have unbelievable amount of podcasts that are nationally, if not worldwidely known.
Well, the McElroys alone are a reason a lot of people are Max Fun donators.
Yeah, I would have to say that probably the greatest percentage of the money goes to them.
My Brother and Me is a staple podcast of that network.
They've been doing it for 7 years.
And then they have the Adventure Zone where they play D&D with their dad.
Which they've been doing that a couple of years.
And one of the bonus episodes have Lin-Manuel Miranda.
That's the most recent one.
Mm-hmm. And so by becoming a donator, you get access to that episode. And he plays a bard and you hear him singing on the fly, making up lyrics.
Of course, because it's Lin fucking Manuel Miranda.
Including a rap where he does vicious mockery.
No.
And it's brilliant.
I'm looking forward to listening to that.
The way he insults this robot is just amazing.
Don't tell me anything else. Okay. He was also on the final episode of the Mabim Bam CISO television show.
Yep. Yeah, because he's a fan of My Brother and Me and, you know, some of the other podcasts on the network.
Weird Al was also on that episode, which brought me joy. We Got This was my gateway into Maximum Fun.
We Got This is Hal Lublin and Mark Gagliardi of the Thrilling Adventure Hour. And together they do debates on just weird little things like best cheesesteak and sandwich and best pie. And
we have covered this.
Okay.
We have talked about this before.
It's nice to remind people.
But they know.
Okay.
If they're regular listeners to the podcast, they know. And if you're not, well, then why aren't you listening to We Got This instead of us? It's a much better podcast.
Depends on the episode. The Star Trek one.
Don't bring that up. I do not want to get angry right now.
Yep.
So let's not do that. I started listening to Tights and Fights simply because of Hal, and it is delightful. You don't even have to care about wrestling. It's just so much fun.
I listened to Sawbones. That's the one about medical history. There's Still Buffering. That's the Smurl Sisters, which is Justin McElroy's wife, Sydney, and then Taylor and Riley. They talk about generational differences because Riley's much younger than her older sisters.
Yeah, isn't she like...
She's like 16.
16, and almost 17.
In their 30s.
Hmm, mom and dad.
Yep.
Getting busy.
Guess so.
Girls leave home, it's like, oh, let's get busy. Oh, we're going to have another one.
Yep, Lady to Lady, three female comics and a special guest, and they just have fun and play funny games. Judge John Hodgman, International Waters when we aren't mad at the host.
Yep, Bunker Buddies, Schmanners, Rose Buddies, Trends Like These. They've got other things. I haven't listened to all of them. Throwing Shade, Oh No, Ross and Carrie, Jesse Jordan Go, Bullseye. There's a lot. There's a lot. There's 36 shows.
I like Oh No, Ross and Carrie. They investigate claims of the supernatural or kind of woo stuff. Like acupuncture, Scientology, Mormonism. They became Mormon for a little while.
Mm.
And that, I think, remains their most popular segment. Because they went for a while and even got baptized and stuff.
Oh my God, they didn't. Oh, man.
Yeah, and eventually had to confess. It's like, you know, we did this as an investigation thing.
Oh,
and
dear.
And Ross, he still goes and plays, like, basketball with them at the ward.
Wow, that's so weird.
And they're saying that they're extremely positive, but yet there's still this kind of roadblock, you know, where we have this much knowledge and then there's all this other stuff that's unknown to us. And it's like, well, it's kind of weird, you know? Why don't we have everything available to us? Why is this other part kept from us?
Control.
Yeah.
But we won't go into that anyway.
So, yeah, Ona, Ross, and Carrie's a fascinating one.
Love Max Fun. MaximumFun.org. Check out some of their podcasts. At the very least, if you don't listen to anything else, oh my god, just listen to The Adventure Zone, okay? Please.
Yeah, if you enjoy Dungeons & Dragons, that's definitely worth a listen. It's hilarious. It started as a goof, but as it went on, it got more and more serious to the point where people cry over episodes.
I did twice.
So it's heartfelt at the same time as being a goof.
Mm-hmm.
And they have an appreciation group on Facebook where a lot of people do art.
Oh, so much.
For the characters. A lot of, like, Disney kind of inspired and some anime inspired
pieces. It's so great. And it's not just that. There was a woman who knit her husband a blanket, and it was a 20-sided die with the words, "I do that," written under it.
Which became a catchphrase for a little while. And they're like, "So do you want to go inside? I do that."
One of my favorites. Taco's good out here.
Yes.
Magnus rushes in and Taco's good out here.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Then Merle, who's the cleric that never heals anybody.
He forgets he has healing spells.
Uh-huh.
But he sure remembers that.
Zone of truth.
There was someone who did a cross stitch of that, which was so great.
That's one of the paladin oath spells.
Ooh.
That you always know. You don't have to prepare it.
Nice.
So, yeah.
I cast Zone of truth.
Dead Pilots Society.
Oh, yeah. That is a fun show.
Yeah, about these sitcoms that never quite made it to air. And John Hodgman has one where he plays himself as a kid, but as himself. Because as a kid, he was basically an adult in a kid's body.
Yeah.
And it works really well.
Let's move on. We have spent a lot of time on that.
We spent a lot of time on that. We have some things to review. So shall we get into Kong Skull Island?
Yes, Kong Skull Island. You all know how I love a good kaiju movie.
Rawr.
In my opinion, Kong Skull Island did not disappoint.
Yeah, the action sequences were really great, and Kong was really well realized.
Oh my god, he was beautiful. The eyes, oh, they really nailed the eyes thing. But not just that, his facial expressions, his movements, his fur,
yep.
His teeth. Oh my god, the detail on his teeth.
Yeah, anytime he'd roar was just fantastic.
Oh, his skin, just everything. So impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize from the trailers, because it was difficult to tell, that it was a period piece, which I should have guessed that it was, because you don't just suddenly discover Kong in this day and age, you know. And it was set in 1973, and I'm like, yeah, you're my birth. Let's do this, bitches.
Yeah, tail end of Vietnam, and that's how a lot of the beginning of it went, is getting people to go to Skull Island to investigate the area.
Well, that's because there's the storm surrounding the island that no one has been able to penetrate.
Yep.
So no one knows what's there, except there are some theories about what's there. So
it's one of those lands that time forgot.
Mm-hmm. The movie actually starts off at the end of World War II, or during World War II. A Japanese soldier and an American soldier both crash on the island, and are trying to kill each other when Kong finds them.
That was one of my favorite segments. That was a fun opening.
They didn't waste any time showing you the ape.
And this ties into the recent Godzilla film.
Oh, it totally does, because Monarch is the organization that was formed to study these aberrations, these old creatures that were suddenly coming back round, because it was them that tried to kill Godzilla when he resurfaced after World War II. It blatantly ties in towards the end, well, in the after credit sequence. But there were nods all over the place for someone who's seen Godzilla as many times as I have.
Yeah.
Because people can say what they want about that movie, and I understand everybody's negative opinions, and that's fine, but I still really enjoy it. I feel that they upped their game with Kong Skull Island because they realized their mistakes. Give us characters that we can emotionally invest in, and care about. And give us the fucking monster battles.
That's the impression I got from Skull Island, is that it was a course correction from Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it added humor, because Godzilla was pretty humorless.
No, it did have humor, but just very much.
Yeah, you know, not very much. It was rather serious and kind of dark. And Skull Island added humor, which you may be on board or not on board. It depends on how well you relate to the John C. Reilly character.
I thought he was great.
Yeah, and see, I was kind of, it's a bit over the top for me. It's a bit dialed up.
Why?
Just personal taste. Humor's that way.
Mm.
It's a completely subjective thing. It was a bit dialed up for my tastes.
Well, see, in my opinion is, this is how I look at it, is that's the only guy on that island that speaks English. Yeah. And he's been there for 30 years.
Yeah.
With a bunch of other people who don't speak English. And when he sees people who speak English for the first time in 30 years, yeah, he's going to be dialed up.
Yeah.
Because anyone would be.
So, like I said, it depends if you can get with that performance or not.
Got to see Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson being badasses, especially Tom Hiddleston.
Well, he basically played a ranger.
The introduction of his character was fantastic.
Well, Special Forces, British Special Forces.
Former British Special Forces.
SAS or whatever they're called.
Yeah, SAS. And he's playing pool in a seedy bar and someone tries to cheat him.
Yep.
It does not go well for that someone. And then, just that look he gives them. I'm like, oh my God, is that Tom Hiddleston? Yep. You're scaring me right now.
Yep. Sam Jackson as kind of a Captain Ahab style character.
Yeah, he needed something to fight, and the war was over, and he didn't have anything to fight anymore.
Yep.
And so he found something to fight, no matter how ridiculously outmaneuvered, outgunned, outclassed he was. You cannot take down a giant ape, you dumbass. You cannot. You tried. You went with the napalm and everything. Did it work? No, it did not. You know why? Giant ape.
I could have used with more Mark Evan Jackson. He was one of the scientists.
You know, I think everybody could have used. You can always use more Mark Evan Jackson.
Yeah, he's in that new Comedy Central show, Detroiters, of course.
He's
from Detroit and he does
not,
a lot for.
He's not from Detroit.
He's not from Detroit, does he?
No,
just,
that's not his place of birth.
Oh.
He loves Detroit.
I see.
He has lived in Detroit.
Right.
And he considers himself a Detroiter. I don't know. It's the place where his heart is, but it wasn't
so
where he was born.
In a way, he's from, but he wasn't born. It's like saying I'm from Utah, not from Colorado.
Yeah.
Because I spent the most time here.
Exactly. So even though you were born in Colorado, you're from Utah because this is what you remember the most of.
Yep.
And that was really formative for him. So he's a big supporter of Detroit.
So, yeah, he's been on Detroiters as a doctor. But, yeah, he played a scientist, and he did his usual smarmy thing.
It was delightful.
I struggled with Skull Island at the first. It took me a while to get into it. In fact, I was thinking, ooh, this could be very bad. With just the beginning, the John Goodman stuff, before we really got onto the island, I was struggling with that.
Well, what, did you expect it to start on the island?
Well, not necessarily. It's just, I think, I didn't particularly care for the writing of those scenes. There are some jokes that just seemed forced and dialogue that would seemed kind of stiff, but once we got into the Vietnam stuff, it improved for me. And then on the island, that was some fun stuff.
Yeah. The opening part didn't bother me because it was necessary, and any of the aberrations I wrote off to the time period.
Ah, that was in the 70s and so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was just like, I was barely alive in 1973. I don't know. So I'm just going to assume that this is just the way things were. I enjoyed it, and I would watch it again. I'm going to have to pre-order that because Tom Hiddleston. So much Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, it'd be a good background movie when you're doing other things. So
when I'm not staring at Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, that's true.
If Tom Hiddleston's not on the screen, then I'm doing background things.
Yeah.
Oh, nope, there's Tom. Gonna look. And yep. I really enjoyed Brie Larson as well. It's like, oh, we've got half an Avengers team in this.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, let's see. How many people were in the main cast that have been in Marvel movies?
Sam Jackson,
John C. Reilly, Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah.
Brie Larson is about to be.
Okay. Oh, yeah. She's playing Captain Marvel, right?
Yep. And I think that's it. But that's 4 out of the main cast of like 6
yeah.
that have been in Marvel movies. And you're like, when was John C. Reilly in a Marvel movie?
No, I know exactly when. He was in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
Speaking of Marvel and their properties, we watched Netflix's Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Oof. It's got to be the weakest of the 4 to be sure of.
Look, Marvel, I know you think you know what you're doing, and most of the time you do. But when your main character doesn't know who the fuck he is or what his fucking purpose is, then neither does your show.
Yeah, the series just couldn't decide what it wanted to be at any given moment.
Oh, it was so all over the place.
Yeah, it never found its feet.
It never did. And okay, here's spoilers, okay? Spoilers. The big bad fight at the end is just against an undead businessman? What the fuck is this? Mm-hmm. Come on! Come on!
Yeah, when you hint towards having an undead sensei.
Mm-hmm.
And that should have been your end battle.
Yeah, but there was not enough time. It's not like you just get fed the blood of the beast and suddenly you come back to life.
Yeah, especially when you had your... Well, I don't know if Colleen would be a supporting cast or a second lead. Where would you put her?
It's difficult to say. But they diverted so far from the comics that I have no idea what they were trying to do.
When one of your major fights is your supporting character dealing with it,
mm-hmm.
it's like, well, where's Iron Fist in this? It's like it was embarrassed to even have the character. Everything interesting happened around the Iron Fist rather than was the Iron Fist.
And there was a precious little using of the Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to like this show, and I don't think that it's the fault of the actors. It is the fault of the writing, because actors can only do so much. Mm-hmm. And if you don't give an actor a clear motivation, they're not going to be able to give the best performance they can, because they don't know what they're doing. But that's apparently what you wanted in a main character. You wanted a main character that didn't know what the fuck he wanted or what the fuck he was doing. And guess what? You succeeded.
Well, that seemed to be their arc is, well, he thought he wanted to destroy the hand, but then would have doubts and, I don't know, just all his choices were poor. Even as a businessman?
He never really wavered on destroying the hand.
No.
That was the one thing he didn't waver on.
Yeah.
He's a sworn enemy of the hand. What he wavered on was guarding the entrance to Kunlun, which yep. is what he was supposed to do. And that's another thing, okay? There was so little about Kunlun, and what we saw was so unfavorable, that I just feel like those guys are a bunch of assholes.
Yeah, why... Where are the stakes in protecting yeah. Kunlun when you show us them beating a kid with sticks?
Yeah.
Why the hell do we want to protect Kunlun? Because nothing we got from them showed that they were benevolent people,
mm-mm.
that they were a people worthy of protecting. In fact, for a while, we suspected they were responsible for Danny Rand's parents' death.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were following some prophecy. It's like, oh, this, you know, person falls from the heavens and becomes the Iron Fist. And so they orchestrate that to happen. That would have been a more interesting story, I think, because it would have pointed out that these monks weren't all that was cracked up to be, you know. And I never got the impression they were good people or that Kunlun was worthy of protection.
Yeah.
Quite the opposite.
And his friend Davos is an asshole.
Yeah.
So it's just like, this seems like a place full of assholes. Why should we give two shits about this place? Go ahead and stay in New York, Danny. You're far more interesting there.
There are so many poor choices in this story. The one redeeming factor and the reason we continue to watch was the actor playing Ward.
Oh my God,
Ward
yes.
Meacham, who is the most interesting, most well-rounded, most involved character in the whole thing. He's got more of an arc, I think, than Danny did.
Oh, he's got definite progression. And you actually start to care. You think at first he's just going to be this asshole. No, there are more layers to him than that. It's kind of unbelievable. The actor's name is Tom Pelfrey, and he was goddamned amazing. Such a nuanced performance. And whenever he wasn't in an episode... We felt it. We couldn't wait for that episode to be over. It's like, the fuck is Ward?
Ward is, like, the reason to watch this.
Yeah.
It's just his performance alone and just the directions his character goes in. He's interesting, and you want to follow that story.
He manages to make you feel sympathetic.
Yeah, to somebody who's kind of an asshole.
Yeah, who also seems to have it all, and yet you feel sympathy, and you're rooting for him to break free of all this shit.
Yeah, that's another thing, is Danny Rand and his white male privilege.
Mm.
It's a hard thing to get over.
So much.
Because they could have treated that in a more respectful manner.
They sure could have.
And I guess, you know, in a way, they kind of had their hands tied, as though, because the accident did occur when he was, what, 10 years old?
Mm.
And then he spent 15 years in Kunlun. But you'd think those 15 years he would have learned self-discipline through the study of martial arts. But he really didn't.
Not at all.
He had no discipline at all. He had no wisdom at all.
Zero wisdom.
And you wonder what those 15 years really meant, other than being able to fight things.
Yeah, it's just... There wasn't enough iron fisting. Oh, God, that sounded so wrong. I'm sorry.
There wasn't enough iron fisting.
There wasn't enough martial arts for my... There wasn't a coherent storyline. There wasn't a coherent thread. You tried to tie it all together, but, you know, there was one of these... They were having that fight with Bakudo, and I said... Wouldn't it be great if the Punisher just showed up right now and just blew him to hell?
Oh, I think I said Daredevil.
I said Daredevil at first, and then you said Punisher, and, and then we're like, with a rocket launcher.
It's like, Daredevil shows up and beats them all up, and is like, how about Punisher just with the rocket launcher just blows the guy up?
Yeah. Well, technically, it would be an RPG, because rocket launchers are way too big to just carry around. But an RPG.
Rocket-propelled grenade?
Yeah. You can blow shit up pretty well with that.
Yep.
We were imagining that in our heads, and it made it so much more fun. I know that they're planning on doing the Defenders, and that's all fine and good, but dear God, you guys gotta get Danny Rand together,
they
because...
need to get him right.
It's not the fault of Finn Jones. He made me forget he was British.
Yep.
He was excellent. His accent didn't falter once, and believe me, I listen.
Mm-hmm. So. And he's skilled. I mean, they trained him well to do the martial arts, and there's some fun stuff. You know, the fight scenes, a lot of them are really fun. There could be more of them, because I think with as long as a series, I mean, a 13-episode series about a martial artist should have martial arts in it.
Yeah, and this is, and then there's all these fucking business scenes and boardroom scenes. We're like, oh my God, we don't care.
Granted, a lot of them do revolve around Ward, but at the same time, it's like it wanted to be an 80s movie, but not knowing what 80s movie wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, is this Wall Street or is this some 80s action film?
Yeah.
You know, is this an American Ninja? You know, you pick. Which one are you? You're trying to be both, and it doesn't work. You have to decide what your series is.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the business stuff just, I mean, some of it just didn't seem to go anywhere.
The way that it felt to me was like somebody having a fever dream and then waking up and furiously writing it all down and filming it. That is what Iron Fist is. It's somebody's crazed fever dream. So nothing makes sense, nothing is resolved, and there are trails that lead off to just nowhere.
I mean, even the finale, when he goes back to Kunlun and finds some dead people there, and then Kunlun's missing, you're like, that's how you resolve your series? Mm-hmm. With the false resolution?
Does anyone care that Kunlun is missing? Nope. Nobody in this room does.
Yeah, because we're not invested in Kunlun. There's nothing about Kunlun that appeals to us. It's quite the opposite. It's actually a repellent place. And I can see why he left for New York, where there's actually people he likes there.
And the whole thing with Davos hooking up with Joy and trying to turn her into wanting Danny dead. What the hell are
and
you
then
doing?
Gao there manipulating things.
The only thing in that end section was when they were at the crematorium.
Yeah.
And Ward was saying, yeah, in a way I'm going to miss him. Who am I going to blame my failures on?
Mm-hmm.
Who am I going to blame all my insecurities on now?
It's like they wanted to make the series about Ward. And were saddled with having to put Iron Fist in it.
I don't think that they expected that to happen. I don't think that they ever expected that Ward would be the breakout person for us to care about.
Well, how could it not be if that's not how it was written? Because Ward is a strongly written character.
He is.
While Danny Rand is not.
Yeah, but even with a strongly written character, it's the performance that seals it. Because not everyone could have done that.
Exactly.
Not any actor could have done that in a way that made us care.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what the fuck it was. It was a fever dream. What it was.
It was a clusterfuck.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, we should be watching Legion now, which I think is on Fox.
It's on FX.
Oh, FX, the X-Men related show.
I hear it's mad as a bag of cats, but...
yep. Yeah, well, it takes place in an insane asylum, part of it.
Well, yeah, I know. I just don't know if I have the fortitude to do that right now. Maybe when it's not spring anymore and my brain can wrap itself around this weird shit.
Yeah, and when those times where we're not burdened by 100 different shows that we're catching up on.
So summer. Yeah. We'll look into it in summer. I'm sure it'll be on demand.
Because, yeah, it sounds like that's far superior to Iron Fist.
It's hard to say because I think it's an acquired taste because I watched the trailer and I'm like, I don't know what this is supposed to be or why it should appeal to me because it just looks like a mess.
Well, even Bill Sienkiewicz was like, Legion's amazing.
Then I'm willing to give it a go.
I mean, the guy who helped make Elektra Assassin... who she was.
Well, and there are other people that really like it whose opinions align with mine a lot of the time. So we'll give it a go, just not right now. I can't handle it mentally right now. I just can't.
And I don't see how they're going to be able to fix Iron Fist to fit in with the Defenders. Because Luke Cage, he's fine. Daredevil, fine. Punisher, awesome.
You know, Jessica Jones
is great.
Yes. Yeah. They're all... They're all people who know who the hell they are and what the hell they are.
Yeah. And then
Danny Rand doesn't know any of those things.
And he never quite figured it out. I mean, they kind of suggested he determined in the final episode, oh, I don't have to kill this guy.
It's a bit late. Yeah, it's like, I know what I'm supposed to be. And then, oh, I don't know what I'm supposed to be. Like 5 minutes later, it's like, oh my God, come on.
Yeah, when he goes to Kunlun and finds it missing and calls himself a failure. Well, yeah, you are. The whole series is.
And there wouldn't have been a series if you hadn't left Kunlun. So, and it really annoyed me how I kept calling it Kunlun. Kunlun.
And people would shift from one to the other, too. So I think Davos called it both ways.
It doesn't. It's just. Yep. It's full of inconsistencies.
It's all over the place.
And it makes me sad because it could have been so much better. I thought the comic storyline was convoluted. It's nothing compared to what this was.
All over the place.
So yeah.
So many unresolved story threads.
You can do that a right way and a wrong way, and in Iron Fist they did it completely wrong. There was so much completely wrong stuff in that whole series. So, Marvel, get your shit together.
Yeah, it was really poorly done.
Get your Iron Fist shit together.
Yep.
Have we bitched about that enough?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Should we dirt track it?
No, we should feedback it.
That's right. We have some feedback. Do you want me to do Glenn's?
Yes,
if
go
I can
for
find it.
It.
So, Glenn, Kimberly, says, I'm going to take you back a few months. I'm catching up on older episodes and was just listening to the episode The Wheel from November last year. The track of the Fortnite by Black Tape for a Blue Girl, I thought the title sounded familiar, and then when I heard it, I realized it was from the album The Lotus Eaters, a tribute to Dead Can Dance. I highly recommend checking it out if you can. It has some awesome cover versions on it. Sorry if you already were aware of this. And I'm going to check my iTunes right now, because I think I might have that album. Because I do have a tribute to Dead Can Dance. I just don't know if it's that one. No library results. So, no, I do not have that one. I do have a tribute album, though. And it does not have that one. So I was not aware of that. So, yeah. But that kind of makes sense, because it is a Dead Can Dance kind of song. Though it's in very much a similar vein of Black Tape for a Blue Girl. It's kind of this very odd, kind of dreamlike approach to constructing music. So thanks, Glenn.
Yes, thank you. I have a big, long thing from our friend Frederick. Rick. He starts out this way. I came across this podcast while researching videos for hygge, which roughly translates into the Danish lifestyle concept of coziness. Something told me you might find it interesting, so give it a try if you have the time. And apparently it's called the Mustards. I didn't mention that they are Swedish. Then, a couple of days later, he sent, I finished listening to the podcast that I suggested to you, like I said. I just stumbled upon it and couldn't help doing the whole compare-contrast thing with your podcast. I found it interesting to listen to a Swedish couple living in Berlin and discuss American politics and Donald Trump. If I'm going to be honest, I found the podcast a little pretentious, which is okay because I'm a little pretentious, but I also found the whole thing a little long-winded. I kept thinking, wind it up already. That's what I like about your podcast. You keep things moving at a nice pace. Thank you.
Yeah.
Speaking of your podcast, I finished the Supergirl episode a couple of weeks ago. Woo-hoo. It's my favorite episode so far this year.
Nice.
I don't know what it is, but I have this thing for female superheroes and villains. Supergirl is about the only show other than Doctor Who that I make an effort to keep up with. I can't wait for the musical episode. Speaking of the CW, did you know CBS owns the CW? Yes, I did. Otherwise, they wouldn't have moved Supergirl from CBS to the CW. You are right. Supergirl is a much better fit on the CW than on CBS. I think the reason Calista Flockhart dropped out of the show was because the CW does all of its filming in Vancouver, while CBS films in LA. Oh, did you know they filmed in Vancouver? I could never tell whenever they were in a foresty area, because it's not like I've seen that same foresty area 50 million times during Stargate SG-1.
Or the same city over and over and over again.
Anyway.
It's like, why do all the cities look like Vancouver?
Yeah. I don't think Ms. Flockhart was willing to give up her life in L.A. with her husband and son to film in Vancouver. Speaking
get
of
off
others...
my lawn. Sorry, I thought I'd be Harrison Ford. I've got to grumble.
I wouldn't be nice to you. Okay, speaking of
Chewie,
other...
Chewie, we're home.
Would you please stop
okay,
it?
Okay, sorry.
I'm trying to finish this.
Where's my earring?
Would you quit interrupting?
Please continue.
Rick's feedback. Speaking of other CW shows, have you watched Riverdale yet? No.
No.
I'm obsessed. It takes place in the Archie Comics universe. Yeah, we know. It has Archie, Betty, Veronica, Jughead, and wait for it, Josie and the Pussycats. We know. It's darker and edgier than the traditional Archie comics. We know. It's like Archie meets Twin Peaks. We know. From what I heard, even the print comics have become edgier. This is the part that gets me excited. Sabrina, the teenage witch, inhabits the same Riverdale universe, and there are rumors the character is going to make an appearance by the end of the season. From what I hear, this is not going to be your Melissa Joan Hart, Sabrina. Archie Comics have published a Sabrina reboot. I want to read it, but then again, I don't. Think Sabrina meets Rosemary's Baby or The Exorcist.
Hmm.
Actually, those, I think the first few comics of that are available for free on Prime Reading on Amazon, so I might give it a go. But I was never the biggest Archie fan to begin with.
Oh, okay.
I was aware of the existence, but I hated the whole Betty or Veronica thing.
Ah.
Got really sick of that because it's just another form of objectification and didn't agree with that. I don't really care about Riverdale. There's nothing about it that appeals to me. Because, yeah, people can say it's like Twin Peaks all they want. But guess what, guys? Twin Peaks isn't even like Twin Peaks, okay? You've built up this idea of Twin Peaks in your head. Go back and actually watch it again.
It's tough going some episodes.
It is.
Especially second series is unwatchable.
The second series is completely unwatchable. I don't know how I made it through. It just went completely off the rails.
Yeah. And I mean, it's hard enough with the whole curtains thing, trying to make the curtains silent.
Just don't get me started on Bob. Anyway,
yep.
Being weird for the sake of being weird is not cool. Have a reason for it.
Yeah.
And Twin Peaks was weird for the sake of being weird. And though it had some really great moments in it, overall, it's kind of like, yeah, I'm okay with never watching that again, actually. Because the funny thing is I didn't watch it, really, when it originally aired. And so when I revisited it a couple of years ago, I was like, oh, okay, I can kind of see what all the fuss is about. Wait a minute, what the fuck are you doing? What's going on here? Why are you ruining this? So, I'm glad you're obsessed, Rick, and I hope you continue to enjoy it. It's just not something I'm ever going to care about.
Speaking of the Smurl sisters, it's divided opinion amongst them. Riley's really into it. I think that's because of the age level and that they're all these attractive pseudo-teens dealing with drama. But Sydney was a big fan of the comics and really identified with, was it Veronica? Betty's the good girl. Yeah, really identified with her. And in the series, she's like addicted to Adderall or something, and her mother's got her hooked on it. And it's like these things that take away from the heart of the character to make it into this dark, dramatic turn rather than the original concept of the good girl.
There's just nothing there for me. I don't want to watch another show about teenagers. I really don't. There's nothing there to appeal to me because I'm a 43-year-old woman. Rick, are you a teenage girl inside? I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but the whole Betty good girl, Veronica bad girl thing, I hate those labels.
Yeah, and the poor little rich girl Veronica thing.
There was just so much there that didn't appeal to me in the first place. And now I'm supposed to watch an edgier version of that? No. No. Yeah. If I don't like the original content it's based on, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to like what they've done with it now. Plus, I can't stop thinking about the name Riverdale because we have a Riverdale here in Utah. It's the next city over from us. So, yeah, good for you for enjoying it. It's not something we care about.
Yeah, it's definitely gone through the CW treatment of having very attractive people, even the teachers turned into young and attractive.
Look, I'm tired. I'm tired of everyone looking perfect. I'm tired of everyone being young and thin. I'm tired of no representation for people like me. I'm tired of it. And
yeah, that's the CW.
And the thing is that I can accept it in my superhero shows because superhero shows, yeah, it's comic book stuff.
It's expected to look that way.
So it's just like, I can do it. And especially with Supergirl, empowered women. Let's go. Terry Hatcher. There is an example right there of how men and women are treated very differently in Hollywood because let's look at the couple of Mon-El's parents who are played by Kevin Sorbo and Terry Hatcher. Kevin Sorbo is just, you know, his normal self.
Right.
He's just, you know, an older guy. That's fine. Terry Hatcher looks like she has had plastic surgery and had been Botoxed within an inch of her life. I'm not sure that her forehead moves anymore. And how much is that because she wanted to do it? And how much is that because she was forced to do it or not work anymore?
Yeah.
Change your shit, Hollywood. Women are valuable, not for how they look, but for what they can do. Get your heads out of your anuses already. And fuck you. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't know how that turned into a rant, but it did. So thank you, Rick. I still haven't listened to that podcast, but to be fair, I have listened to very few podcasts because I'm too busy at work right now, yeah. And that's usually my main podcast listening time.
Yeah, you have the Adventure Zones to listen to.
Just don't remind me. Yeah. That's our feedback.
That is our feedback. Now for Dark Track.
Dark Track.
Okay, this Dark Track comes from the band Blush Response, who is actually one dude by the name of Joey Blush. He's Cuban-American, but is living in Berlin, Germany.
What?
And he does some techno-industrial stuff, and he's under several record labels, Sonic Groove, Aufnahme, and Wiedergabe, and also Ant Zen. He's has an official website at weareReplicants.com. And he's also considered a sound designer.
He said with air quotes.
Yep. His music is characterized by a modular synth-heavy approach to sound design, combining rough, glitch-heavy guitar beats with thick, distorted synths to create a sound that blurs the lines between electronic genres. The song we have to play for you is Tonight We Fight by Blush Response.
Shit from you.
speaking of rants, it was a pretty ranty song. Lots of swears, lots of
high octane rants.
Yep. You were banging your head to it a bit.
I was. I'm very tired, and it made me perky.
Yeah, you picked up a little after that track.
Yes. It was energizing.
It was energizing. It was energetic. Very angry. Very agrotech.
Yish.
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 Rar. Pretty straightforward. Not much to say about it.
No.
Just that, yeah, he's got that percolating synth thing going on. And really driving beat. So pretty up-tempo stuff with some angry lyrics overlaid.
Indeed.
Do you think it's okay to finish someone else's food? Do you have a fight with your friend over whether or not he should wear his Phillies garb to a Colorado Rockies game? Does your wife want to keep a chamber pot in her art studio? If so, please do not write in to Judge John Hodgman. I heard all those cases already. Judge John Hodgman is the show where I, John Hodgman, adjudicate disputes between real people calling in over the internet, and I tell them who is right and who is wrong over such important issues as, is a machine gun a robot, and is it okay to go through the garbage at the Canadian House of Pizza and Garbage? Bailiff Jesse Thorne rounds out the cast for a fun-filled podcast of judgment and justice. Kind of two of the same thing, actually. Judge John Hodgman, take a listen if you do not mind. I order it. Come visit the courtroom. It is open to all and located at MaximumFun.org.
Want to get into the point?
Well, we can't because we haven't recorded it yet.
Yeah, but I mean introducing it.
Okay.
Because I imagine we want to do a little bit of setup before we play it, right? It's a rim shot for a setup?
Just go on.
Okay. Or is that like a jazz hand?
Just please go on.
Okay. So, for the point, we are about to record our first official live podcast, because the previous one we did was before people we knew, so I guess it didn't quite count as
being
fully live.
Yes, it does, too. It does, too, count as being live.
Okay, so...
we recorded it live in front of people. That's in front of a live audience. It doesn't matter if they were people we knew.
This is our second live one.
Yes.
But in front of people we might not know.
Yes, some people we will know. Half the audience we will know.
Yes. So we're doing that in the loft.
The Comedy Loft.
The Comedy Loft. The Ogden Comedy Loft.
The Ogden Comedy Loft.
And so we're going to record a segment live, and that's what you'll hear. So I suppose we'll play that now.
I am DJ Evil Dave. That is Dr. Brandy Sexy Voice.
Yeah, somebody called me that once, and it just kind of stuck.
Yes.
And then people started sending in lists of things to the podcast that they wanted me to read in the sexy voice. And one of them, that was my favorite one. I think it was it, it was Rob, wasn't it, who sent
It was
in,
Rob the Chief.
Yes, who sent in a list of city names that sounded rude but weren't.
Yep, British city names
British
that sounded
city.
Rude.
That was the most fun I ever had.
Yep. And he'd keep doing that with other things, but that was the funniest, I think.
That was
all
the funniest.
All the dirty city names.
Yes.
So to begin with, make a zombie noise if you listen to podcasts or know what podcasts are. Okay,
wow.
Make a cow noise if you don't know what a podcast is.
No
oh, that's
cows.
That's interesting. So all of you are familiar with podcasts, so we don't have to explain that. So that's a good bit of our discussion dealt with, so that saves on time.
Yeah, which is good. So, yeah, we have a podcast that we put out every 2 weeks called the Dark Corner Podcast, and it's kind of what would you call it? An alternative look at pop culture?
Yeah, that's probably
sort
a good
thing.
Description for it.
Ish, because we have a lot of fandoms, and we try to cover them from a different point of view, especially two non-Christian people in the middle of Utah.
non-active Mormons. In fact, I had my name removed by one of the church leaders.
Yeah, we don't need to go into this.
Yeah. Well, I just never attended.
Some people are starting to get really uncomfortable now.
Well, yeah, I just found a different path. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Many roads lead to the same destination.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, there is actually a book in a store that I used to work at that called Paths Are Many, Truth Is One.
And so that was actually pretty interesting about how, you know, it does the destination is not necessarily the most important thing.
It's the journey. Now we became the Zencast.
Yeah, well, it's also something Shepherd Book said in Firefly.
Oh, she got a loot crate today, the Firefly loot crate that had a little Shepherd Book figure.
It was all Shepherd Book themed, and it just made me sad all over again that Shepherd Book is dead and that Ron Glass is dead.
Oh.
And it came with this fabulous pocket watch, Firefly pocket watch, which I'm using to keep track of the time we are using.
Yes.
To the end. Okay, so...
The story of how we fell into podcasting.
You thought it was going to be fell in love, didn't you?
This is, what, the third time we've told the story on the podcast?
But sort of, yeah. But
sort of the second time?
Sort of the second time.
Yeah.
It happened almost 9 years ago.
Close to it.
And I can trace it back to one single moment, and Dave wasn't even in the room.
The room where it happened. Sorry. Continue.
It's going to be stuck in my head now, you
oh,
jerk.
Oh, darn it.
I love Hamilton. And it happened on a Saturday night. I couldn't tell you the exact date, but I can tell you that it's all David Tennant's fault. If you don't know who David Tennant is, just go Google him later.
He's Bernie Crouch's son, right?
You know, I love you so much. Anyway, yes, he's all of those things. And it was a Saturday night, and we had cable now, and we had BBC America. And so I was checking out stuff on BBC America, and the Graham Norton show was on, and David Tennant was on. Now, I knew I had not watched any new Doctor Who, because I'm just like, why are you doing this? Why are you ruining my childhood again? And so I didn't really know who he was until I saw him on this. And I am a sucker for a Scotsman, guys. If there's someone speaking in a Scottish accent, I am drooling. And so I saw him, and I thought, oh my God, he's Scottish. Okay, just calm down. And he was really funny and charming, and I thought, well, I don't know, he's the current Doctor, maybe I'll give this a go. The very next thing after that episode was an episode of Doctor Who, which was coincidentally the episode where he played a Scotsman.
Oh, yeah, that's right, the one that was about werewolves.
Yeah,
and
Queen Victoria's a werewolf.
Rose kept trying to get her to say, we are not amused.
Yes, yeah. And the birth of Torchwood actually happened in that episode as well.
Correct.
If you don't know Doctor Who, this means nothing to you. So that was what got me started on Doctor Who. Getting obsessed with the new Doctor Who led to me listening to a Doctor Who podcast, which led me to meeting on Twitter one of the hosts of a Doctor Who podcast, whose name was Marty Parrott. And he had invited everyone to watch him freak out before the podcast on Twitter. And so I did that. And then we started conversing. And then he started talking about his other podcast, which was called The Box Room, which he did with his partner, Jennifer. And I started listening to that. And then there became a group online. And then we became part of the group. And we became friends with a lot of British people.
Yeah, the Box Room Forum was amazing. Our show art for our podcast... James Ferguson, also known as Dark Ink One.
Yes.
Amazing graphic artist, does it in a very kind of graphic novel style.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool, a lot of horror and rock and roll themed stuff.
Definitely.
He was just doing amateur stuff at the time and just posting it on the Box Room Forum and saying, hey, what do you think? Now he's a professional artist.
Yeah, he's had gallery showings and stuff. And we're just like, yes, please keep doing this, James, you're great. And so we started sending in feedback to the Box Room podcast, and... Well, what happened one time was that they actually mentioned me on one of their podcasts right after they'd seen the new Star Trek movie. This was 2009, okay?
Yep.
And I was totally against seeing the movie because I'm like, again, you're ruining my childhood!
Again!
And
it's a theme.
And so I got into podcasting because people were ruining my childhood. It's
a continuing theme.
It is a continuing theme. And so, because they were saying, I wonder if Brandy would like it, I know. And I'm just like...
It's like, I can't remember if she liked the new Star Trek movie or not. And so we had to record
some feedback.
Epic feedback, mm-hmm. 20 minutes long.
Yeah. And that was when they said, oh, thank you so much for the feedback. Have you ever thought about doing your own podcast?
In parentheses, maybe you should record your own thing and so you're not sending us these huge files.
Mm-hmm. In other words, get the hell off of our podcast with the 30-minute long feedback and please just start your own.
Yep. And yeah, we thought of it, the new Star Trek basically being Muppet Babies in space.
And so many people were saying good things about it that I thought, okay, I'm going to go in unprejudiced and see how this is, and I hated it.
Yeah, on her birthday, no
on
less.
On my birthday.
And just fuming while watching it.
I wanted to like it. I really did, and I just didn't. And people who like it, I'm fine with that. You know, it's not like I feel like you can't like it because I don't like it. I'm not that kind of person.
Yeah.
It's subjective.
Of course.
It's just like...
Well, when they exile Kirk, he goes to this distant planet, runs from this weird alien that doesn't even belong on the planet. His physiology doesn't match, but that's something else.
Mm-hmm.
And he runs into a cave and just happens to bump into old Spock.
Yeah, alternate universe.
Entire
Spock.
Universe where he could go, and he bumps into the one person he's supposed to meet.
You see how my eye is twitching?
Yeah. That's not writing.
Yeah. I hated that movie, especially when it became very clear about halfway through that this was the new reality.
Oh, yeah. And then with the second one where they basically redid...
Oh, my God, don't.
Wrath of Khan.
Don't. We are not... going over this again.
Yeah.
Because I will start swearing.
We recorded a commentary to Wrath of Khan, and I tapped out about, 2 hours in? Something like that. I'm like, I'm done. I have nothing more to say about this film.
It was my second time through the movie. The first time I tried to watch it, I had to stop like every half hour because I'm like, I just can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, she'll do that. She'll hate watch something.
I will. Yeah. I really just wanted to watch it for Benedict Cumberbatch because Benedict Cumberbatch.
Doctor Strange.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Cumberbund.
I love him.
Yes.
What?
Cumberbund.
No.
Because he's classy, and classy people wear cummerbunds, so that's the connection.
No, because it's cummerbund.
Right.
It's a play on words. I know. I love shooting him down. It's so fun. You love it.
So, yeah, the box room was huge. That's where we met a lot of our other podcasting friends.
Mm-hmm.
Your little brother you never had.
Yeah, Matt.
Matt Hood. He recorded a podcast with Tom Elliott called The Gentleman's Grindhouse, where one of them was silent era up to Texas Chainsaw Massacre horror fan.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, Texas Chainsaw Massacre up to modern era. A lot of the slasher and splatter films, and that's Tom.
Yeah.
And they'd record together, and each one would pick a movie each week, and so they'd show them, you know, movies they hadn't seen and discuss it, and it was like two British gentlemen in these ox blood, you know, leather chairs just with brandy sifters just talking about horror films.
With their delightful
super
British
classy,
accents, yeah.
Super popular.
Yeah.
And we sent feedback to that show.
Yeah,
and
we became friends with them.
Yeah, their web host's ear, who is Matt Dillon, not the actor, on Geek Planet Online. And before we were on Mevio?
Mevio.
Yeah,
it was
really
Mevio.
Cheap, Mevio. Free way to do podcasting that's not around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so he brought us over to Geek Planet Online. He'd host us for free.
Yep.
Because we were getting fans through... The Gentleman's Grindhouse show.
Yeah.
Like Rick, he's a major fan from early on.
Rick.
We have a lot of them from the box room. Lee Medcalf, who does the Black Dog podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic movie podcast for people like creative swearing.
So creative!
Yeah.
If you've ever wondered how to turn a swear word that's a noun into a verb, they can do it.
One of my favorites is a soundtrack that sounds like a one-man band falling downstairs. My favorite descriptions of a film.
And I really loved Lee's misadventures with Home Improvement.
Oh, yes, when he glued his butt cheeks together.
Why wouldn't he wear shoes?
Yeah, he's
wear
like...
Wear shoes when you're using power tools! Oh, my God, please!
Partly naked doing Home Improvement.
And so he deserved everything he got, let's be honest.
Yeah, had a drawer fall on him, had a bed fall on him.
Yeah.
Almost had a shed fall on him. Yeah.
So, yeah, we made a lot of British friends that way. And yeah, so it just, things progressed, and we decided that things were changing at Geek Planet Online, and we just didn't really fit in there anymore.
Nah, things were changing. They were doing the Patreon thing where they were getting donors, and then there was this magazine being released featuring the host of the podcast doing something slightly different for people who donated. And we just didn't feel like we fit. We started doing improv and coming here, and we started to put in a lot of that into the show, and so it was different than what he was wanting. He didn't like the theater stuff because you were getting into acting.
After a 15-year hiatus from a very bad experience that we will not discuss at this time.
Yep, and he didn't have any interest in live theater stuff. And so we decided, okay, we're going to move on. And Tom, of the Gentleman's Grand House Records, Sifter, Oxblood Chair, remember that guy, Splatter Films, Liverpudlian, I think they're called.
Yes, his voice.
Very deep, resonant voice, so think of, let's put some deep voice guy, like Vin Diesel, or like, Keith David, somebody like that, speaking like a Beatle. And you get an idea of what he sounds like.
The best.
And he does a Twilight Zone podcast, which is amazing.
It is.
But he offered to host us in his new site, which is the Strange and Deadly site, and also Gentleman's Grindhouse Records. I think he's still in transition between those two.
Yeah, so it's still gentlemansgrindhouserecords.com right now.
Yeah, so that's when we changed your name from Inside Outcast to the Dark Corner podcast, which I'm surprised they didn't already have. I looked. And looked hard on, like, iTunes and Googled it just to make sure there wasn't a Dark Corner podcast, because you'd think by now.
You would think.
Because there is a Dark Corner film, like, it's a noir film with Lucille Ball in it, of all people. It's like, Lucille Ball in this film noir. I know! It doesn't quite resonate. It's like having Carol Burnett in a film noir.
Hey,
it just doesn't quite fit.
No, that would fit, because Carol Burnett is amazing no matter what she does.
She was a stage actress, so
yeah. She can do drama. Don't you play with Carol Burnett, okay?
Like the Harper family.
Yeah. Carol Burnett is untouchable and sacred, and don't you ever besmirch her reputation again, you son of a gun.
And the Harper family, that's basically her family.
Oh my God, yes, it is.
Her grandmother was just like...
My grandmother was Mother Harper.
Yeah, Mother Harper.
Oh, it's not, I'm not even kidding. My grandmother and mother are from Arkansas. So, yes, it was my family, except here... Instead of in the South, but same idea. Just all of the passive aggressive fun of a bipolar person butting her nose into everything.
Yes,
that was my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
God rest her soul.
Yes.
Think. She may not be in heaven, let's be honest, guys. She might not be.
She might not be.
I don't know. I don't know for sure.
Well, if she could, she'd probably haunt you, so...
I think she did for the first 3 years after she
probably died.
Because I kept having dreams about her.
That's how controlling she was. It was like, after death, still meddle in your business.
It's like, why are you wearing pants, Brandy? Why do you want to look like a man?
Wear a dress to school, even though they all make fun of you.
You're not allowed to play on the monkey bars. Those are... terrible things that will get you killed.
Yes. Or the clinging to the car when you guys were going on vacation.
Oh, yeah. We took a trip to Disneyland when I was 9. We had never been outside of Utah. And she was literally clinging to the side of the car as my dad was backing out of the driveway and saying that we were going to die. And this was a terrible mistake, blah, blah, blah.
It was
blah,
like the
blah.
Liquid metal Terminator from Terminator 2.
It kind of was.
Right in the...
she just wouldn't let go. She was like, my dad just finally sped up and she let go of the car, she was still like running as we backed out. Yeah, that was my childhood, guys. That explains a lot, right? So much.
And I was basically a latchkey kid. Typical Generation X stuff.
Yeah.
This podcast.
We were talking about a podcast.
When we first started, I asked you what we wanted to do, if we wanted to specify on one thing. You're like, no, let's just talk about whatever we want. And that's been basically our mode the whole way through, even in the new Dark Corner podcast.
Yeah.
We record movie commentaries, so you just put on the movie and listen to us ruin it by talking over it. Did several of those.
It's so fun, guys. Just... just like Mystery Science Theater movie. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Probably our best one is Carnival of Souls, which was filmed largely in Utah.
Yes.
Around Saltaire.
Yeah.
When it was abandoned, and so...
This is the second Saltaire, not the first Saltaire, because that burned down in, like, the early 1900s. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
That's a fun one. Music specials. I started playing a song each episode a while back because one of our listeners is Colin, mm-hmm. who had a music podcast of his own called the Robros Podcast. And so I got into that. I found a lot of free music that we could play without, you know, paying royalties or anything.
Yeah.
And now, like, Twitter, most of my followers, like, probably half or more of my followers are bands ever since I became a DJ and getting submissions and stuff. And the pre-show music was all stuff that we've played on the show.
Yes.
And so that was cool. So every once in a while I'll play a music special. It'll be about 10 tracks kind of themed around a certain thing.
Yeah. He does that a lot if I'm in a show and it's Hell Week or something where I am just not home ever because I go to work, straight from work to rehearsal and whatever. But that hasn't happened for a while, so.
Yep. Reviews. Good. We just earlier today reviewed the Iron Fist Netflix series.
Yeah.
Mixed reviews on that one, huh?
Yeah, well, it was... the title of the episode is going to be something that came out of my mouth before I could really think about what I was saying, because I said there wasn't enough iron fisting in the show. We're keeping that in.
Yep.
Keeping that in. That's and the title,
the title of the episode
is iron fisting.
Yep.
So, we're not going to go into the review because you'll just have to listen to the podcast.
Yes, I guess so. We recorded our experiences at the recent fan experience.
Yep.
Salt Lake Comic Con, and every time we've been, we've recorded a show around that.
Yeah. There's a lot of me going, nope, I can't talk about that right now.
You mean Zachary Levi?
Shut up. Shut up.
Well, she was in between jobs for a time.
I got laid off from my job through no fault of my own at the beginning of 2010, and it was terrifying because we'd been in our house for under 3 years, and I'm like, how am I gonna make the house payments? Unemployment doesn't pay that much, and lots of people are out of work right now, and now I'm one of them, and I've got to find a job that makes a certain amount of money, or it's going to be pointless, etc. And I was unemployed for 6 months. 6 months. Dave still thinks that it was a rest for me. It wasn't.
No, I imagine the stress was incredible.
It was. It was a nightmare from start to finish.
Well, you were working since being a teenager, like nonstop.
Since I was 16 years old.
Really been not working, so in that regard, it was a rest, but yeah, you were depressed.
It was horrifying. And then one of our friends, friend of the podcast, sent me a clip from this show that had been on for a couple of years called Chuck. And I thought, well, let's give this a go. The funny thing is, the clip didn't even have Zachary Levi in it, but it had Matt Bomer in it. And I'm like, ooh, Matt Bomer.
Yeah, because that was the time White Collar was around, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we got the first season and watched it, and by, like, the third episode, I'm like, this is the best show ever! Ever!
I think it was Rob the Chief
that hooked you up,
which was the same one that was sending him dirty city names.
Yes. Yes, it was him. And I just, it's like the creators were inside my brain and putting in all of these little Easter eggs that only I would understand. And I know that's not the case, because a lot of Gen Xers feel the same way.
Yep. So references to Tron, references to Dune, all the stuff she grew up on.
Missile Command.
Yep. Atari. Yeah. Jester.
There's so many things, just little things that you would just never really think about unless you had seen Star Wars 130 plus times. So, yeah. It was the thing that always made me feel better. It made me feel like things weren't hopeless. And Zachary Levi was the star and was a really big part of that. And come to find out, he's a really great guy.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, he was supposed to come to Salt Lake Comic Con for just one day, and he loved it so much he stayed another.
Yeah, and he doesn't do things outside of San Diego Comic Con.
Or New York.
He's done, like, New York Comic Con once. But as far as, like, the thing with the photo ops and the autographs and stuff like that, he's never done that. And so for them to get him here, I don't know what deal with the devil they made. I don't know whose souls they sold.
Which is ironic because he's grateful. A Christian actor.
I know. Non-denominational
yeah.
Christian.
Yep.
And I love him so much. Anyway, and so I had my moment meeting him. What was more than a moment? And I cannot talk about it.
Because
I will start crying.
Yep. Well, you're a very sensitive person. So,
I will.
Yeah.
I cried in front of him. He was so nice.
You've cried in front of most celebrities.
Look, sorry.
Yep. She's verklempt.
I'm verklempt.
Speak amongst yourselves.
Amongst yourselves. I'll give you a topic. A chickpea is neither a chick nor a pea. Discuss. I feel better. It's an old Saturday Night Live skit. Look it up. Coffee talk.
Yeah, Mike Myers and not the slasher of Mike Myers.
Yes. Yes, Coffee Talk.
The Canadian one.
Coffee Talk with Linda Baldwin.
Yep.
That's
which is based on his mother-in-law. Yeah. This is basically our show. We sit down and just geek out over
just,
whatever.
We're such nerds.
Yep. Though with more swearing, so be warned.
So much swearing. So
especially
much swearing.
This one. I can turn it on and off.
Yeah, well, he was never repressed like I was. So.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, but you became yourself a
That's
lot
true.
Earlier.
That's true. That's something else. We're self-confessed goths. I've been since, junior high, even before I knew there was a name for it. Because black's always been my clothing.
Mm-hmm.
I used to draw vampires all the time when I was a kid, still in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And probably not vampires, more like Draculas. Because they'd have the widow's peak, they'd have the little medallion. You know, they were specifically Dracula. So.
Yeah. I, however, was very repressed until I was about... You met you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I helped, like... Free her, I just like broke the chains.
He did. He broke my chains and now I'm free.
Yep.
And so I am making up for lost time and just getting in all of the black sheep stuff that I possibly can.
Yes. So. She's become the wild child of the family. So like the younger and the middle sister kind of swapped personalities.
Yeah, now my younger sister, who used to be the biggest troublemaker,
yep, she's
is getting her
one.
Master's degree
yeah.
in business, and I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. I respect her greatly.
Oh, definitely. She's very well educated.
I don't know how she does all that she does, but I do sometimes tease her about how she used to give me crap for loving Star Wars so much. And now...
She's in the 501st.
And the Rebel Legion.
Yep, which are...
And they're going to Star Wars Celebration in a few days, which they go to every other year.
She has, a TIE fighter pilot outfit. She has an AT-AT pilot outfit. She's got a Leia outfit.
Yeah. And various and sundry other things. Her husband builds droids. He has his own R2-D2, and he has an R5-D4.
Yep. Wookie
because
outfit.
That's what the other droid was that blew its motivator, okay?
And
it was an R5-D4.
I think R2 sabotaged that droid.
I agree.
Yeah.
Because he's just the kind of little dick that would do that. He was. He's a little dick.
Yeah,
I mean
it. All part of the plan.
It was all part of the plan. So, yeah. But, you know, how would Luke know the difference between an R2 and an R5?
I don't know. He is a farm boy, isn't he?
He is a farm boy.
Wearing a karate gi. For some reason. Anyhow, I think that's our time, isn't it? Should we wrap it up there?
Yeah. We've been married almost 20 years, and he still surprises me.
Yep, that's the idea.
Well, and I do the same to you.
Yeah, you do.
Iron fisting.
Yep,
yeah,
her dumb jokes get me the most. Yep.
Totally me.
So, yeah, that's our show, and so please welcome to the stage our two favoritest people in the world.
Yeah?
Our favorite improvisers, it's Chris and Chelsea, carry out the prom!
Woo! Woo!
There we go, we don't know how that went.
I'm sure it was a complete and total success train wreck.
Failure, success.
You can just choose which word you would prefer in the editing process.
I could. It was horrible. It was great.
It was total successfully horrible.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah. Can't really wrap up it since we don't know how it went. So
there it is.
Yep, there it is. Shout-outs?
Shout-outs. Hey!
My shout-out is to Danielle, discussing the whole multi-class situation. Is she's playing a druid, and so there's a little bit of concern that maybe you'd be, I don't know, stealing her thunder a bit if you went two levels instead of just one.
Which I would never want to steal her thunder.
Yeah, because that's when you get your shape-shifting ability, and since she's the shapeshifter of the group. But then it's like, oh, no, you can shapeshift together. So it was kind of like a family thing. So,
yeah, I want to run with Phaedra.
Yeah, you guys could all turn into wolves and go running about the place.
That would be fun.
Yep.
Let's go scare the townspeople.
You could come in and get shot by the people protecting their chickens.
We wouldn't go after chickens. We would just run through the streets.
Oh, okay.
Like happy puppies. All and right. Then just have people going, ah, wolves, wolves,
wolves, wolves, wolves.
It would be hilarious.
Yes.
Especially if we shapeshift back into our normal forms right in front of them.
Yep.
Because that would just fuck them up more.
Except for Phaedra, who they'd think was a really powerful druid, because you can only change shape for about half your level. So for you, it'll always be an hour maximum, mm-hmm. since you'll only be two levels.
An hour's pretty damn good.
An hour's pretty damn good. Considering that a combat round is 6 seconds.
I can play a lot of pranks in one hour's time. Yeah.
But to have somebody who's always a wolf, it's like, are they cursed? Are they a druid? Or is that an actual wolf?
We just don't know. That's part of the fun.
Yep. So she was all aboard with having you be a cleric for two levels.
She's just, I love Danielle. She's a remarkable person. Yeah. And she's fun to play with. And I love how enthusiastic she is.
Yeah, she gets really involved emotionally in the characters.
I love that, though, yep. Because I'm a very emotional person, but I'm playing as not so emotional person.
Well, she has, her whole thing is to find friends.
Yes. Find friends and create memories.
Yeah.
I love her facial expressions when something adorable happens.
Yeah, she's just like, her little mouth goes open like, oh, and she looks around.
She's delightful.
Yeah, I guess with Phaedra, there is a downside to the multiclassing is that for a couple levels, she won't get the hit point boost. Mm. So she'll be 12 hit points for a little while longer.
Well, then she'll just have to run and hide sometimes. Yeah,
and there's other ways to protect her spell-wise.
Yes.
Could have the cleric cast Sanctuary on her, or whatever it's called. There's one where it makes it so people will not attack that particular individual unless they attack them, something like that.
Right.
It's like a weird protect spell.
Yeah, I think they've used it in the Adventure Zone, but I don't remember what it's called. I'm pretty sure that got used once in an episode.
Because there's Shield of Faith, which adds armor class, and then there's one that makes it difficult for people to attack that person.
I wasn't thinking Shield of Faith. I know it's something else.
Yeah. Your shout out.
My shout out is to our Lord and Master, Mr. Tom Elliott.
Tom Elliott.
He has recently created a Patreon page where he is, he has achieved his goal. He's heading towards his stretch goal now.
Nice.
Of $150 a month. A lot of people may set their goals at certain increments. He just set his at $1 a person.
Nice.
You can give more if you want. But it's basically benefiting the Twilight Zone podcast because that's his big baby. A wonderful baby it is.
Mm-hmm.
If you have not listened to the Twilight Zone podcast, oh my God, what is wrong with you? I've been telling you for years. It's so good. For Patreon donors, you know, whether you give $1 or $5 or a one-time donation or what have you, that gets you access to his new podcast, The Fifth Dimension, which comes out the last day of each month, and where he reads short stories that are Twilight Zone-esque or maybe straight-inspired Twilight Zone episodes, etc.
Nice.
And his debut episode came out yesterday, and it was his reading of the original story of The Fly, and it was glorious.
Yay!
Oh my God. I had goosebumps. It was just so good. And because I had seen the original movie, which is with Vincent Price and Robert Alden, wasn't it Robert Alden? I'm pretty sure it was. Alan Alda's dad. That movie followed that story very closely. I could actually see the things happening as Tom was reading the story, and he had like sound effects and music and stuff that. It was brilliant. It was so well done.
Because he did that with a few of his other readings on the Twilight Zone podcast, like the one for The Howling Man.
Oh, God, yes. That's one of my favorites. I got to hear that before anybody else.
Yay!
And it was glorious. Mm-hmm. I would listen to Tom read anything, of course. He knows that. Even if we weren't hosted on his website, I would still be pushing this because
easily.
Tom is one of our longest podcasting friends. He's been podcasting as long as we have. He deserves all of the success that he's having and more. So go check out Tom Elliott on Patreon. If you don't know how to do that, then, oh my God, learn how to use the internet.
That's what Google's for.
Well, there's an app now. There's a Patreon app, which makes it really super simple.
Yeah, because Jim Moon's on there as well.
Yeah, and I donate to him as well. So,
well, considering that we're not a member of Max, like a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network, yet we still promote it, it's kind of the same way as even if we were not on the Strange and Deadly Network, we'd still promote Tom's stuff. And the Twilight Zone podcast, it's its own separate thing now. It's been taken from Strange and Deadly to be its own thing.
Well, it originally was its own thing, and then it merged for a while, and now it's departing again. It's like, hey, I'll ride in the passenger seat for a while, and oh, this is my stop. Thanks for the lift. It's a marvelous podcast. He's a person well worth supporting. The product that he's putting out is excellent and
beloved. It's high quality stuff,
so please, it's only a dollar. Granted, we're donating more, but it's a dollar is nothing. You can't even buy a cup of coffee with a dollar. Not a good cup of coffee. You can buy something that someone might tell you is coffee, but it's really not.
No.
It's just flavored hot water. Well, technically, that actually is what coffee is. All beverages start as water. Oh my God, they discovered this on the last Mabim Bam. Anyway, that's beside the point, and that is the end of our show.
So it is.
We hope you haven't stopped listening before now.
I like that you ended it. Usually it's me that ends it.
Well, I'm ending it.
Yeah,
I'm ending it, bitches. So... thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Bye!
Bye!
The intro to the Dark Corner podcast is Starting Over Again by the Dolly Rocks. The outro is Closure by Chemical Waves. You're listening to them right now. Have feedback? Send it to thedarkcornerpod@gmail.com. You can also hit us up at the Dark Corner Podcast Facebook group and the Dark Corner Podcast fan page. Follow us on Twitter at Dark Corner Cast. If you have the chance, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Why not also check out other fine podcasts on gentlemen'sgrindhouserecords.com. Speaking for Dr. Brandy Sexy Voice, I've been Evil Dave. Thanks for listening.
Gentlemen's Grindhouserecords.com